it's time to embark on another road trip. So we're going to take you on a journey. I know some of you will be doing your own road trips at the moment, so you're in good company because we have David Tennant taking us on a road trip today. Hello. So the next 20 minutes, we're going to be going on this fantastic journey. It's an imaginary journey. You get to pick what we're driving, so the vehicle that we're going in, where we're going to, the destination, and most importantly, what we're going to play on the stereo as well. So you get to choose the music. And we'll learn a bit more about you along the way.
Well, you might. I might play my cards very close to my chest.
Oh, I know what you're like.
I might remain enigmatic.
You can try.
I'll try.
Okay. What should we travel in, first of all? What kind of car?
Well, I would like to establish some ground rules. Is it like this car? Well, because the destination and the car are kind of linked. Can this be some kind of magical cross-ocean type car? Or is it very much a trip that we could actually be going on?
No. Fantasy is fine.
Yeah, okay. Because I've never been to Australia.
Okay.
So I'd quite like to go to Australia without a large carbon footprint. So I thought I might take this opportunity. Which probably means we have to travel in some kind of perhaps slightly trippy magical car.
That sounds great.
Powered by, I guess, by some kind of green renewable energy source.
Okay.
Powered by old shoes or something, I don't know.
Can we not just take the TARDIS? Can you not just kind of set the coordinations and go to do Australia in the TARDIS?
It has a very bad car stereo, so that would let us down for the rest of the feature.
Right, okay. So we're going in some kind of magical mystery mobile.
Why not?
What colour should it be?
Let's get a bit of 60s. Well, then it should probably be a bright yellow, like the submarine.
Perfect. Yeah. We're going in the yellow submarine.
Let's go in the yellow submarine. Come on.
Okay. And whereabouts in Australia? What kind of...
I don't know. I've never been. Have you been?
No, I've never been to Australia, no.
I don't know much about it, but I know that people who've been are very keen.
Sydney are quite fancy going to.
Sydney, the Opera House is very pretty, isn't it?
And
let's
then
head for there, and then we'll head out from there.
Okay, fine. What are the essential items that the doctor needs when we go on this road trip, or you need on the road trip?
What is an essential item for it?
What do you need?
Obviously, we need some kind of stereo or MP3 player.
Yeah. Food, sustenance.
Yeah, obviously.
What do you eat then? What would you be snacking?
I would like the catering to be done. Obviously, we're on the BBC. I'm not going to name exactly where I wanted to be from, but there's a chain of restaurants in Britain which like to grill chicken in peri-peri sauce. A few bags from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll keep us going all the way to Australia. That'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be good.
Other grilled chicken restaurants are available.
Okay, before we start the journey, I want to introduce you to SatNav for today. Okay.
Hello, David Tennant.
Aww.
It's John Barrowman here. And guess what? I'm the voice of your satellite navigation system for this road trip.
Funny enough, he is in life.
Is he generally?
I have John strapped to the front of my car at all times.
Like those little cuddly toys that lorry drivers have.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice to hear him there.
Yeah, you might hear him again.
Good.
So we'll start at the beginning of your story, David Tennant's story. When you were a kid, did you want to be an actor?
Yes.
From what age?
About 3.
And how did this manifest itself?
Because of Doctor Who. Because at 3, I watched John Pertwee turn into Tom Baker and quizzed my parents about the whole, what that was, what the process was. I very quickly got the idea of what actors were and wanted to be one.
And so when you were at school, were you doing lots of, were you in all the plays, wanting the lead roles?
There weren't a lot. I did what plays there were. In primary school, there was one called Gypsum's Journey, and I played Gypsum in that.
What did you have to do?
I was a goblin.
Incorrect turn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had to wear green tights, which, you know, when you're 10, is a little bit embarrassing.
There are photographs of this?
Not that you're ever going to see, I know. And we had a sort of silk green pointy hat with little latex ears stapled to it.
I don't need photographs. It's there in my head already.
I'm painting a vivid image.
You are? Was it because you liked the craft of acting, or was it because you were kind of quite a show-off? Because there are kind of different types of actors. I'd imagine John Barrowman, for example, might have kind of been an extrovert.
Reverse the polarity.
You don't strike me as that person.
I don't know. I suppose I was a bit of a show-off because I liked being up on the stage and telling the stories, I guess. Mm. But it was always I wanted to be in those stories. That was what fascinated me. I was watching things like Doctor Who on the TV and thinking, I want to be in that. That's what I want to be, part of that world.
Oh, whoa. Keep left of the next Milky Way and mind out for the asteroids. And by the way, why don't you tell everybody who convinced you to buy your hybrid car?
Oh.
Oh, he's taking the credit for that now, is he?
What's that about?
John, we both drive hybrid cars, John and I, and he got his first. And he was persuading me that it was a good idea. I mean, I didn't need that much persuading. I think he's being slightly cheeky and taking the credit there.
Right, tell us some music, first of all, your first choice.
I've gone quite high concept with my choices of records. What I've decided to do is I'm picking the first record I ever bought, and then I'm going to pick the next record I've bought, which hasn't even arrived yet. I've ordered it, I haven't even got it yet.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, we'll do what I'm listening to at the moment. Do you like that?
Yeah, no, that's a good concept. That works for me. So I'm very intrigued to see what your first record was.
The first record I ever bought, I bought it from Woolworths in Paisley. Mm-hmm. 7-inch single. I've still got it. I think it cost 79p. She's still going strong.
Okay.
She was also my sexual awakening, quite frankly. She was all over my bedroom wall. It's Madonna with Like a Virgin.
Madonna, and that was the first choice of David Tennant. So, sexual awakening then.
Touched for the very first time. Long before I was touched by the very first time. For the very first time.
Who was your first love?
My first love was Madonna.
And your first real love?
Oh,
because I doubt she reciprocated. Your first kiss?
My first kiss was with Melanie Hughes in primary 6 or 7, I think it was. Yeah, Melanie was quite cool. I was amazed.
You did well, did you?
Really well. Although she didn't, it didn't last. She two-timed me.
Did she really? With who? Do you remember the boy's name?
Kenneth McMahon.
You do remember?
I do. Kenneth McMahon. If you're listening, Kenneth, I've never forgiven you.
Do you remember the first lines that you did in Doctor Who? The first day when you were shooting?
Yeah, the first day I was shooting was me on my own in the studio finishing off the first series, because the first series had been shot and was in the can, and then it was decided that it was going ahead and I was coming in, so we had to go and do a little, my half of the regeneration, which was, new teeth is the bit that I always remember. There's a bit before that, though, isn't there? And I can't believe it.
Barcelona?
No, that's how it finishes. Oh, new teeth, that's weird. But I say something just before that.
Everyone will be emailing and texting in straight away now telling you.
It's John Barrowman.
Hi, John.
Your sat-nav voice for this road trip into the space-time continuum.
Right. He's doing sound effects now.
Amazing. I think he's got something else to say.
Turn right at the next planetary junction. And while you're there, David, could you please tell the story about the problem the Doctor and Jack have with their coats when they run? And by the way, who wins those races?
John, you know you're going to lose if you start that one up. John and I both have long coats. To be honest, when they asked me to do Doctor Who, one of the first things I said after I stopped laughing at the impossibility of it all was, can I have a really long coat? And indeed I did. And John has quite a long coat as Captain Jack. And when we do running down corridor acting, which does happen now and again in Doctor Who, we both have to guard against what I call nappy coat, which is where if you're running with a long coat, it flaps up between your legs and wraps itself round your upper thigh, which doesn't look cool. And also makes running quite difficult, but more importantly, doesn't look cool.
It's not cool.
It's not what a Time Lord wants.
Not really. And who wins those races?
I do.
Okay, fine.
Of course I do.
Right, we're on our trip. We're in our magical kind of submarine.
He comes up with, come up with an excuse. Like, oh, I had the hand in my backpack and that slowed me down. Or, oh, I didn't want to run ahead of you because, you know, the doctor's going to be first. I win.
Wrong turn.
Tell us about the process of stopping being the doctor.
It was a kind of slowly evolving realisation that it was the right time. Suddenly, the realisation that it would come to an end felt quite scary.
Scary in what way?
Well, just because it had been such a big deal. It was so popular. The idea of walking away from something that's working and thriving is quite difficult to do. But at the same time, I think that's the time to do it. Take a deep breath and go, challenge yourself, be a bit brave about it. Because otherwise I'd have just stayed forever.
Oi, Tennant, it's Barrowman here. And you seem to be not following directions very well, so all the next ones are going to be done in your native tongue. Wrong turn! No, shut it and recalculate your route.
What's been your favourite? I know you get asked this all the time, but bear with us. Favourite episode of Doctor Who that you've done?
I don't have a favourite.
Really?
You've asked me this question before and you know I didn't answer it then.
Yeah. Okay, so villain, is there a favourite villain?
No.
The Master must come close.
Well, the Master's pretty great. And when you see the Master returning at Christmas, as he is going to do, dear listener.
You get to see, because at the end of the episode, which goes out tonight. I've already seen it, and it is very special.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant. It's very, very scary. Yeah. The monsters are so original when we're watching it. That was quite striking.
Absolutely. But also where the character goes is quite new.
Exactly, Towards the end, the last kind of 10 minutes.
Yeah. Takes your breath away, doesn't it?
Totally, really does.
And that all sort of sets up where we're going at Christmas as well.
And then you get to see a trailer of what happens at Christmas and see the Master.
Yeah.
At the next junction, go a wee bit forward.
What should we play next?
Well, as we're in the Yellow Submarine, what I'm listening to at the moment is the Beatles. I'm listening to loads of the Beatles because all their stuff has recently been remastered. And I've always felt slightly like I'm not as into the Beatles as I should be. And I went into a record store in London and they were all there on a display, all the remastered Beatles albums. And I thought, I should stock up. I've only ever had Sgt. Pepper and the White Album.
Yeah.
So I stocked up. And I've been kind of gorging on the Beatles, and I'm loving it. And the two that I'm playing most is Help and Magical Mystery Tour.
Okay.
So seeing as we're in the Yellow Submarine going to Australia, we should probably play Magical Mystery Tour.
Sounds right. Let's do it. on Radio 1. Yeah. That's very surreal.
I'm dragging it back to the 60s.
Oh, yeah. David Tennant, and it's the road trip that we're doing at the moment. We're in a yellow submarine. We're going to Australia. Looking to the road ahead and also to the future, where is your future? Where are you going next? What are you doing?
Well, we've got a couple of films coming out. Glorious 39 is out next week, which is a film I did with Stephen Polyakov, with every great actor in Britain. Bill Nye, Romola Garai, Julie Christie, Christopher Lee's in it. I'm just playing. I think we can call it a cameo. I think I'm allowed to call it a cameo.
Okay.
It's a small part. But very chuffed to be part of that. And then St. Trinian's 2 I'm in as well.
And what role do you play in that?
I'm the villain. I'm Sir Piers Pomfrey.
I mean, that must have been a lot of fun to do.
I'm a misogynist, nasty piece of work. Very posh, aristocratic.
And then America beckons after that.
I'm going to LA. I'm doing this pilot for NBC television in Los Angeles.
That's exciting.
It is. It's quite weird because in Britain you'd make a pilot kind of behind closed doors, and but out there we're making a pilot. If it doesn't work, that's fine. Hey, it's all very inclusive and very positive. And
who else is in that? Sorry,
Jeffrey Tambor is in it.
Oh, who's he? What's he?
Jeffrey Tambor. Oh, come on.
Sorry,
the Larry Sanders Show.
Okay.
Hey now.
Right.
Hank from the Larry Sanders
Show.
Okay,
fine.
I'm so overexcited even to meet him. I'm so thrilled that I'm going to get to meet Jeffrey Tambor, let alone do scenes with him. I'll be a bit gobsmacked.
Do you get scared? Do you get intimidated by people at times?
I will, by Jeffrey Tambor.
Right.
Yeah, because he's probably the funniest man alive. We did Number in the Buzzcocks recently, didn't we?
We did.
Which is coming out at Christmas. And I had the very easy job of having all my jokes written for me by the scriptwriters. That's how I like it.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot
of
fun.
It was fun.
Bernard Cribbins. Incredible.
Free associating. Noel Fielding, I think, is going to sign him up for the Mighty Push because he's more surreal than Noel was.
And what's been the greatest plaudit that you've had, the best compliment of your time doing The Doctor? What's kind of meant a lot to you?
Oh, there's been so many things that you feel incredibly privileged by. I mean, obviously, the awards and all that kind of adulation is wonderful and beyond expectation. But to be honest, the thing that really... I did a phone-in the other day, actually, and then this kid phones in and they say, I'm 11 and I watch you on the telly and I'm so inspired and it's just, I want to do what you do, and it just gets you. Things like that, that's... Oh, I'm filling up. But
yeah.
Sort of, that's it.
Having meant
yeah,
so much.
Because you just go, well, that was me. And to have had that effect, sort of a generation down, is something I'm very proud of.
What should we play, the final song?
Well, this is the next record I bought. I've bought it, but it hasn't quite arrived yet, so it's not quite there. And this, I heard this when I was out in America. And they're playing it all over K-Rock in LA. It was on all the time. You have to drive in LA. You don't have any choice.
In a hybrid.
I had a hire car. I couldn't get a hybrid. I'm getting a hybrid next time. So I was driving around and this came on like 17 times a day. Their playlists are quite small. But I just love this song. And it's by a band I'd never heard of before, Owl City, and it's called Fireflies.
David Tennant, you have been brilliant in every respect as the Doctor. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks for having me.